Coaching Culture, the podcast where we discuss how we could use sports and not let them use us. I'm JP Nurbin, the founder of Thrive on Challenge, and the mission for this podcast is to connect leaders in athletics to help us all create a transformational culture by building leadership and character. All right, welcome to episode 12 of the podcast, part two of the Nate Sanderson interview on working with parents. This episode, Nate's going to discuss lessons learned from past mistakes, clearly communicating what really matters in sports, opening up communication between the coach and the parent, presenting beneficial information for parents, and creating a positive experience for the sports parent.
You had mentioned, you know, you had some less than great moments in dealing with parents. What's probably one of the failures that you had or mistakes you possibly made that you probably really felt like you learned a lot from?
Well, I think, you know, I've had an interesting career. This is my third stop, so my third job. My first coaching job started at a small school in southeast Iowa, took over a program that was in the middle of a 33-game losing streak. I was the fifth coach in 4 years. It had to be one of the worst jobs in the state. And this is me, fresh out of college, never coached before, didn't play high school basketball. And I'm the interim coach halfway through my first year and then take over the head job the next year. And I really had no idea what I was doing, you know, and I mean, that's just the way it is, right? And that's not to say all young coaches are that way, but that was everything from what we were doing on the floor to, you know, I understood how to build relationships and some of those kind of things, but we weren't very good early on. We didn't win a game that first year when I was the interim coach. We won one the next year. I think we won 5 the year after that. And so there was a movement to, you know, get me out of town and get to the school board and the superintendent and try to get me fired and what have you. And I think the most valuable thing that I learned out of that is that, you know, I had a pastor once tell me that I had to learn to be poor before I could learn to be rich. And I think that there's something to that experience of going through a couple difficult seasons while you're learning and trying to find your way, because you really have to make a decision about what's important to you and what, you know, in a sense, what you're willing to be fired for. And I think that that's helped me to forge an identity as a coach and really gave me some peace that, you know, people may not agree with what we're doing and they may not understand what we're trying to do, but I felt pretty strongly that we knew what we were trying to build into the lives of kids. And I was willing to get fired for that. Now, fortunately, we had some talented kids come up and we ended up setting the school record 3 years in a row for wins and had a nice run. But, you know, when you're questioned in that way, it really causes you to determine what is my rock, right? What is the center of what we're trying to do here, and force me to commit to that regardless of what the outcomes were going to be. And I think it was definitely difficult. There's no question about it. And I'm kind of back in a similar situation now, starting over at Linmar, where we're going to have some struggles this year because we're a really young team and we're in the best conference in the state and we're going to take our lumps. But I feel pretty confident in what we're trying to build and how we're doing it and really the impact that we're trying to make on the lives of kids and of parents for that matter.
Oh, I absolutely love that. I think one of the hardest things when we're trying to change maybe some of our coaching behaviors, and I know this from my own personal experience, is that when we have been at less than our best, that sometimes to change requires us to admit that the way we have been doing things wasn't the most beneficial. I think that can be a really big challenge. I know for myself is to admit that I had to admit for a while there that the way I was handling myself as a coach, the way I worked with parents or dealt with parents was not the most beneficial way. And I think that can be a really intimidating thing to admit that to ourselves and then even sometimes to admit that to other people. But I think when we do that, I think we can actually build really strong, healthy relationships and have an impact on other people. And obviously your willingness to share has really provided so much value to so many people. So, because you obviously had some success when you started to work with the parents, you know, you were state championship coach, but do you think this would have still worked or been beneficial had your team not achieved as much? Had they not been state championship team?
I think yes. You know, and again, this season at Linmar, we might be lucky to win a handful of games this year. And so, you know, parents obviously want a quick fix and they want a quick change and they want, you know, they want to win as much as anybody else. But I think when you begin with the end in mind, so to speak, and we decide, you know, how are we going to evaluate what really matters during our season? And players have to go through this and coaches have to go through it. And I think, you know, we're trying to walk parents through this process as well to understand that at the end of the day, we just make a ball go through a circle. It's really not that big a deal, you know, and a lot of our sports are kind of like that. Like when I do clinics and I talk about, you know, soccer, they kick a ball into this huge box. You know, football carries a ball over a line on the ground. Like when you think about the eternal magnitude of those actions, they're really not that meaningful, right? But who we can become in the process of that, that can last and affect our lives forever, right? I mean, that can make us better parents. It can make us better, you know, friends and what have you down the road. So we really try to frame what we're building in terms of our culture and our program and our experience around that, around what lasts, right? Rather than just the outcomes. And when you can start to divorce just the evaluative process from just being outcome-based, you can start to be able to appreciate, you know, in our situation right now where we're struggling a little bit, we talk to our kids about if you can manage to work hard and not give up and care for each other and be there for each other on the floor, whether you're winning by 20 or you're losing by 30, like especially when you're losing, that can be inspirational for people because a lot of people go through stuff in life when things aren't going their way, right? And nobody's there for them to keep encouraging them to work hard and pick them up and what have you, right? But we have a chance to model that Tuesday and Friday night when we go out and play games. We get to choose who we are in those situations. And we encourage the parents to celebrate and be proud of who we are even when we struggle. And so I think, you know, in trying to guide their, just the way that they think about what we're doing, you know, if we wouldn't have won state championships at Springville, I would hope that the parents would still value what we've done in the lives of their kids, or at least what we've tried to do, especially as they see how we play and some of those values manifest on the floor. You know, it isn't just about the winning and the losing. And I think you have to coach that in your parents in the same way that you coach it in your kids. The other thing I told parents at Linmar when I started is that it's inevitable that there's going to be conflict, right? Like they're going to have disagreements or questions about what we're doing. And I told them the same thing I tell the players. 90% of the time, it's going to be my fault. So give me a chance because it's going to be a miscommunication on my end. If you don't understand, you know, why we do something or how we do something, give me a chance to explain myself before you get angry. And so, yeah. You know, that was one of the, you know, the pitches that we made in that talking about, you know, email us back, send us questions, we'll talk to you, but just give us a chance because, like I said, most of the time it's going to be my fault for not communicating very well, and we tell the players the same thing. If you don't understand something, ask us, right, and help us help you try to communicate better. You know, one of the things I shared with our parents at the meeting this year, too, is that in that section on, you know, how do you love your kid as an athlete, talking about their inner dialogue, you know, and the importance of your inner dialogue and performance. But what psychologists say, what research says, is that our inner dialogue is formed by the voices that we hear most frequently and most intensely in our life. So when you think about that for a 15-year-old kid, whose voice is that? Well, it's mom and dad's, and it's mine as a coach. And so if you're frustrated with how your kid responds to failure or responds when they miss a shot or they have bad body language or whatever, like there's a responsibility that we have in shaping how they think about those failures because our voices impact how they talk to themselves. And I don't think they ever really thought about that before, you know, but all of a sudden, like you're bringing them in with a little responsibility that can help their performance. And that's the other thing that I'll tell people sometimes too, is like parents may not get into all this, you know, the character stuff. And like there's some parents out there that just want to, you know, win and live through their kids and all that stuff. But you can start there. Like you can start with, look, here's a way as a parent that you can enhance their performance. Let's talk about their inner dialogue, right? Because they'll agree, yeah, how they talk to themselves is going to affect how they perform on the next play. So then you go back again. Where does that come from? Yeah, it comes from us, right? So what can we do differently to help them have a better inner dialogue so they perform better and everybody gets what they want? Like sometimes that's the, you know, the way we have to walk into the door with it and then work from there. You know what I mean? I just told them, this is what the research says. So I don't necessarily tell them, you need to do this, or this is being a great parent. I just tell them, look, Michigan State University interviewed 100,000 kids about parent involvement in their sports. And this is what kids said, right? And so maybe that's not your kid, but in general, this seems to be what kids want from their parents, you know? And then I just kind of leave it up to them, you know, to do or to react to that however they want to. And I had a lot of parents at L&M this year after our meeting that, you know, almost everyone came up to me afterwards like, that was the most amazing parent meeting I've ever been a part of. And I learned some things. And I had one guy, he's been an official for 25 years. He coaches his daughter all the way through. She's a senior now. He coaches boys in the district and whatever. And he's like, I learned some stuff tonight. I wish I would have heard this 4 years ago. You know, I mean, just it's been a pretty cool response because I just don't think anybody's like, they don't know. I just keep going back to this at clinics. They don't know what they don't know. And so I'm not making rules for them. I'm not telling them they need to do this. I'm just trying to present some information and some perspective that they aren't going to find on their own.
I think it's awesome because I think what I have learned in my experience of doing what I've been doing for the last 5-6 months is that I honestly think that even that parents are possibly even more eager to learn, like to change, than some coaches. I think some coaches have built up walls. This is the way I do things. I don't think it's all coaches, obviously, but I feel like parents are just really, there's a large group of them out there that are incredibly hungry to find ways to really help their children, not just athletically, but just kind of to help them enjoy the experience and to be a better parent out there. The reality is there's just not a lot of stuff out there.
Well, and I think the other side of it that we didn't get into either that we do with our third question is we just ask them, like, what do you want it to be like? What do you want your experience to be like as a sports parent? Because I got two daughters, but they're 6 months old and 3 years old, and we're not doing youth sports yet, which probably makes me a bad parent. But, I don't know what that's like to, for 16 years to go every weekend to club sports. And then during the season, you're at every home game and every away game. It's the same group of parents. And, you know, so we just ask them, like, what do you guys want it to be like for you when you got to show up? Because you got to be there. You're obligated, right? So what do you want that to be like Tuesdays and Friday nights when you got to go to Iowa City, you got to drive to here, and, you know, it's the same group of parents. What do you want your cultural, you know, your experience to be like? And so they write that on the last card, and then we ask them, you know, well, what are you willing to do to give that to each other? And you get great stuff. You know, the stuff that parents are always afraid to say, like, I hate, you know, so-and-so is always on the ref. So-and-so only cheers for his daughter, so-and-so, whatever. Well, now, you know, they're saying we want people that are going to be positive and supportive and cheer for everybody when they come in and out of games and, you know, be friendly to other L&M people in the stands. And, you know, you get that stuff and then you send it out in one of the emails just as a reminder, say, hey, if you guys do this, you're going to have a great experience too. And all of a sudden, like, they're not just thinking about living through their kid, but you're trying to help them have a good experience in the same way that you're talking about building culture with your kids.
Coach, it's been really awesome having you speak on all this. What is the best way for people to reach out to you if they have any more questions or if they're interested in possibly bringing you in to speak at a clinic?
Sure. You can find me on the web at on Twitter at SpringvilleGBB. Still haven't figured out how to change my handle on that yet, so it's still SpringvilleGBB. And then I also have a website at Breakthrough. If you go to breakthroughbasketball.com/Sanderson, you can contact me there, and we've got some examples of some clinics and podcasts and some articles kind of all in that one place. So there's a lot of resources there that you can check out as well.
All right. Thanks again, Coach. I appreciate your time.
You bet. It's been great. Thank you.
All right. That's it for the interview with Nate Sanderson. If you haven't already, be sure to check out his blog, Dealing with Parents. I just had two major takeaways from that episode. From a practical standpoint, creating a standard of parents emailing you with their concerns and allowing you to get back to them on your time, that is actually really beneficial. I fear this sometimes, though, because we have those keyboard warriors that can go crazy saying things that they would never say to our face. But I think we have to find some way for them to communicate with us, and we have to be approachable. Otherwise, they're just going to vent those frustrations, their frustrations, to other people, and that's going to often create a cancer in our culture. Another idea that Nate shared that really goes against a belief that I held for a long time was our ability to create a positive experience for the parents. They do sacrifice a lot of time and money to support their child. Now, they're not going to always be eager to help out with the things that we need, like concessions, team meals, etc., but they do sacrifice for their kid. It is debatable about whether we have a responsibility to the parents, but we definitely have an ability to create a positive experience for them as sports parents. Thus, I think we should at least be considerate of this, even though it may not be our top priority. All right, that's it. We have a whole series of podcasts coming up where I will share some ways to call up parents, to bring them into the process. Also, we have a special guest episode on mental performance training coming soon as well. In the meantime, check out thriveonchallenge.com. Follow me on Twitter at JPNERBUN so you can get your hands on some more practical resources to help you build a transformational culture. Thanks for listening.